Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we have a very special guest who's running a little bit late, and we have another special guest, Adam Head from Dark Specter Paranormal, is with us. Adam, are you here?
Sorry, I'm right across from our house, and is like an old friend.
DJ, are you here? Well, it seems we're having a bit of a technical difficulty. Which is not surprising, because on this show it seems that we frequently have technical difficulties. Hello, Adam, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Willow, it's Sandra.
It's EJ's here too. You know, it's funny. I don't think I've had a show yet that there wasn't something that went crazy wrong during the show. It must be the nature of the beast of the paranormal hour.
Yes.
Tonight, okay, so everybody sound off so I know who's here.
Adam's here.
Adam's here. And EJ, are you here?
No, it's Sandra.
Sandra's here. Okay. I appreciate you guys pinch hitting for me tonight. Adam and Sandra are the leaders of Dark Specter Paranormal. They have been frequent guests on our show, and boy, oh boy, do they have amazing stories to tell. Let's start off with, have you had any recent investigations? I know your team has undergone a little bit of a change.
Yeah, we've Yeah, we added two new members and got rid of like four members. Well, they decided to quit, so it's always hard to lose people, but you know, life happens.
Yeah, it does. Well, you know, in this particular game, people come and go. You get burnt out, and I know I haven't been doing anything paranormal. I haven't done any investigations myself in months. I kind of took a break from it. I've moved and I got a new day job, and I just really haven't had the time, but I have had the desire, just not the time. So, anything new with you guys? Any upcoming investigations you want to tell us about? Or
there might be one or two coming up. One location I really can't disclose right at the moment, but the other one, actually, both of them I can't really disclose just yet.
Well, that's cool. Let's talk about some of your old investigations. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind at all.
I would love, everybody always loves to hear about, the hospital. Because you had so many, it was a hospital, right? It's an old hospital somewhere.
Yeah, Chattanooga.
You guys had incredibly interesting things to happen there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just by the time we go there, something happens, whether it be, you know, a shadow or a noise or a child calling for help.
Wow. And that was one of your team members. Was that you, Sandra, that got choked?
Yes.
I know you've told this story on this show three or four times now, but we have new listeners. Would you mind to tell it again?
No, not at all. I think it was back Valentine's we spent at the hospital. We were down in the pharmacy area where we have a lot of activity, and we were doing an echo box session, and all of a sudden, you know, I'll be honest. I pass gas. I do it very often on investigation, so I don't know why. It seems to be something our old team does. And I did it, and another team member's like, was that you? I'm like, no, not at all. And she said, well, who did? And I'm like, well, I guess they did. She said, who? The ghost, and across the echo box, it clearly says my name. I'm like, well, that's great. It just told on me. And not even 15, 30 seconds later, all of a sudden I just started choking, almost like somebody was shoving something straight down my throat.
Wow.
It was almost comparable to having a breathing tube.
Say that again?
It was almost comparable to somebody inserting a breathing tube.
And this was the place where you guys found out that there was a surgical nurse or something there that had died there, right?
I'm not sure if it was a surgical nurse. There was one down in geriatrics there because of the naughty nurse. She passed away of a heart attack.
Oh, wow. So it very well could have been a nurse just trying to do her job, and maybe she thought you were not breathing well.
Right.
I know it couldn't have been funny at the time. It had been scary.
Oh, it was very scary.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Sandra had to leave the area.
Yeah, it made me throw up.
I don't know if after that if I would have gone back into the hospital. I don't know
about
that.
Three or four more times.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a draw to the place. Once you go, you keep wanting to go back. It's so big and so much activity. You can't cover it in one night. You know, even two nights, you can't cover the whole hospital and get everything you want. It's a draw. You got to keep going back.
And, yeah, for those of you that are listening, you really need to go to Facebook and check out their page. It's Dark Specter Paranormal. They have so much evidence posted on that page. It's insane. You guys really get a lot. It seems like whenever you go, you get a lot. They have pictures, and I think you guys had some videos, didn't you? Yeah, I see some. I'm over there looking now. They have pictures and videos and EVPs, some crazy stuff. You can find them on Facebook. It's Dark Specter Paranormal Research. They are a nonprofit organization. Now, you guys do, like, specialized investigations, right? People call you and say, hey, I've got a problem in my house. Can you come?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Check it out?
Sandra, how many private investigations have you done with us?
Do I? I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you.
How many investigations have you done with us private-wise?
I don't like home investigations. I think I've done maybe 3 home investigations.
Okay. Let's see, I've been doing it 5 years, and I think I've done a total of 8. And I'd rather do a private home investigation than, you know, a big commercial location.
That's amazing. Any commercial location. Is it easier in the commercial locations because they're not as... I have a theory, and I was just discussing this with someone the other day, that when there is a lot of activity, a lot of human activity, that it makes it difficult sometimes to find that paranormal factor. I'm searching for words right now. Places, it seems, that are highly populated, it's just not as easy to find. You can go into a house that's reportedly haunted, and if there's a huge group of people there, you may not find a blessed thing, but if it's just a few people, it seems that activity picks up. Do you find that to be true, or is that a little skewed?
Yeah, a few of the investigations we've done, you know, group investigations and, you know, just a team, and we seem to get more when there's a smaller group of people. You know, say no more than 5 or 6, but if you start getting 20, 30 people into the same location, it's kind of hard to pick out the paranormal because of all the activity going around. You know, people talking, whispering, bodily functions, you know, that sort of thing. It's hard to pick out the paranormal. When you got a smaller group, you can pretty much pinpoint what's going on and when. Does that make sense?
I think that that's been the case for most of the people I've talked to as well. I don't know. It's hard to decipher some of these things. Do you think that to the point in time will ever come where real science can prove some of these things? Because it seems like every time one of us comes up with a video or an EVP or a picture, somebody's debunking.
No, I don't think there will be a time where it'll be proven by science. Because we cannot duplicate what we capture in a set standard. I mean, there's no way to tell. We can't get the ghost to do what we want to do when we want him to do it. So there's always going to be that debunk. You know, somebody's going to try to tear apart what we capture as far as, because, I mean, you know as well as I do, there's so much audio, video, pictures can be altered in so many different ways. And for the most part, relatively easily. So that's why when I post something, I try to post it unedited, so there's that factor's taken out. I don't ever try to, you know, post something that I've edited heavily because I don't want that factor. I don't want somebody saying, oh, you edited it.
Yeah. Well, and there's people, even if you don't touch it, even if it's just raw footage or raw pictures, there are the naysayers who want to debunk it and say that it's not real. And I get really frustrated sometimes. I understand it to an extent because anytime I see something, here's an example. I had flashed, my daughter had flashed a picture of herself in the mirror, and she posted it on Facebook, and I'm telling you what, it looked like there was a face in the laundry room because it was kind of a side shot. It shot with the way the angle she shot it at, it kind of shot out the bathroom door and across to the laundry room in my old house, and it looked like there was this very creepy face. And I didn't notice it to start with, and somebody brought it to my attention. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, and finally I was like, oh my gosh, she really caught something. Finally, I blew it up, and I was able to, in making it larger, figure out that it was shadows around a light fixture in the laundry room that made it appear there was a face there, but it really was just another example of pattern recognition, which, you know, our eyes are prone to find patterns in everything.
Oh, yeah.
So because of that, and many other instances, I can't tell you how many times I've heard something slam and thought, okay, what's that? And then found out it was my cat or the dog or whatever. I do tend to be a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cautious?
Yes. I do tend to do that. But at the same time, when you're experiencing it, that, like the investigations you've been on and the things you've experienced, and then people are saying, oh, well, no, you just imagined it or whatever, that's very frustrating, I think.
Well, I mean, when you get an EVP of a child, you know, crying or, you know, saying mommy or daddy, I mean, there's no way for us to have, you know, that kind of evidence pop up when we have no children on an investigation with us.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a big difference. So, let's talk equipment, because it's been a while since we talked equipment. You guys are real good at finding evidence, so which equipment do you feel works the best?
All of it's about the same. I mean, I like the recorders because those are, you know, the go-to for everybody is a recorder. K2s, millimeters, all that stuff, it could be anything, naturally occurring or not. But I tend to like digital cameras and digital recorders the most. Those seem to be the most reliable.
I have a new digital recorder, and I haven't had an opportunity to use it yet, but I'm itching to try it out.
Did I just hear you say we were going to team up?
What's that?
Did I just hear you say we were going to team up for an investigation so you can use your recorder?
Oh, well, I didn't say that, but I wouldn't turn you down if you wanted to. I would be so for trying that. I would like to visit the hospital with you.
Well, come on.
Well, when you're going next, I might be able to set something up. I've got some paid time off I could take. That I would love to do that. I'd love to. There's several locations near where I am now that are reportedly haunted, and I am in the process of trying to put together a team here to do some investigations and do some live shows. So if you're listening in Indiana, if you're close to central Indiana, or close enough that you wouldn't mind the drive and are interested in going on an investigation with me, message the Paranormal Hour page on Facebook, and we'll see if we can't get that worked out. We want to do investigate these places and do live shows while we're investigating, because that is so much fun. Unless, of course, your team, because the last time I did that, my team took off and left me alone in a dark, abandoned nursing home. Yeah. Don't know that I want to go through that again.
But that was fun.
It was a little scary. It was a little scary, and I was on the air, so I couldn't be a big old chicken and go, and freak out. I just had to be calm and keep talking, but they did get a scream out of me. They got a little bit of a screech because somebody snuck up on me and scared me, but that was an interesting occurrence. When you guys do your investigations, do you do it singularly? Each of you go off on your own, or do you stay, you know, have the buddy system? How do you do it?
We normally know less than two people. Reason being, when you're alone, you're more vulnerable. And if something happens, you want somebody there to be able to help you out. You know, okay, so,
yeah.
You know, attack, or if you fall and hurt yourself. I mean, you don't want to be walking along and fall into a hole, hurt yourself, and have no way of nobody knowing what happened. So
yeah.
I always say, you know, don't go off alone. Stay with at least one person. You know, one other person besides you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, there have been times where we do like a single, but we're never out of range. You know, we can always hear somebody on the radio, or we can see them on a video camera. If we can see you on a video camera, or, you know, have contact with you on a two-way radio, you know, if you want to go off by yourself, go for it, but have a way so we can, you know, hear what's going on, or for you to get a hold of us. Just the hospital's so big, I don't have... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. I hate that.
The hospital is so big that...
Do what?
You said the hospital is so big that...
I don't have enough cameras or enough wiring to cover the whole hospital. And some places in the hospital have dead spots for our radios, and that's just one place I wouldn't want anybody going off by themselves.
Yeah. Well, it is very dangerous, especially if you're investigating somewhere that's dilapidated. If it's dilapidated, yeah, you could be in big trouble.
Yeah, the hospital really ain't that bad. A few spots, but overall, it's pretty safe. But it's just so massive. I mean, shoot, you got, I think it's 67,000 square feet of walls and offices and, you know, basement, a third floor. I mean, it's just huge.
Yeah, that's a lot to cover. That is a whole lot to cover.
And I think with the opening of the first floor, I think they added another 30,000 square feet to that. So you're looking at a lot of square footage.
Oh, wow. Did you say 30 or 13?
There's three floors total plus a basement.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a lot of room to cover, for sure.
And, like, up until last year, the first floor was closed off to investigators. They just recently opened that up for investigators to investigate down there, too.
Why did they have it shut down, do you know?
There was somebody living down there.
What?
Yeah.
They were living in a haunted hospital.
Well, see, the previous management, they lived in the hospital and, like, babysat the teams. and then they kind of skipped out, a whole big story there, but there was a guy living in the first floor, and his lover died. So when they cleared all that out, they've let investigators go down there now.
Wow.
It's a whole big, there's a whole big story I really can't go into on the air, but yeah.
Wow. I would like to say that's a whole different kind of crazy. However, I do know lots of people who would jump at the chance to do that. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, they have teams that stay like a week at a time sometimes. And I think a week is a little too much in a place like that. A day or two I'm fine with. I don't know about a whole week, but a day or two is fine.
I can't imagine living there. The energy draw would have to be,
oh, yeah.
I mean, off the charts. It would be, I would think that you would be drained and tired all the time.
Actually, when we leave, we sleep really well. We leave pretty energized. I mean, it don't drain you. Now, I'm sure you're an empath or do what, Sandra?
Speak for yourself.
Okay, I'm speaking for myself.
Well, Sandra's getting choked and stuff. I imagine she's feeling a little drained when she leaves.
It does. The next day, it takes me a while before I can get motivated to do anything. Like, I'm just so weak and sick feeling after we investigate. It takes so much out of me just because sometimes it's kind of hit or miss, but when it's active, I'm drained the next day.
I think that's fairly common. I've heard that a lot, anyhow, from different investigators, that if they go into a place that's especially active, that when they leave, they're just exhausted. Now, some folks, a doctor, for instance, or might tell you that that's because your adrenaline is pumping the whole time you're there because of the fear factor or whatever, but and there's probably some good scientific evidence to prove that that could be the case. But there are some places that aren't scary. They may be haunted, but they're not really scary. And people still leave there feeling drained. So, I don't know. I don't have a determination on that one. Tell us about the black mass. The new listeners have not heard about that. And that's in the hospital too, correct?
Yes.
The giant black mass.
We've named him Shadow Man. And what we believe he is a Cherokee medicine man, also known as a skinwalker. And he's using his size to intimidate people to keep them out of that area. We don't think he's dangerous, but he definitely has an intimidation to him. You know, you're talking, you know, at times 7-8 feet tall, likes to stand in corners and just watch you. And you get close, he kind of like goes away from you. But he also comes up to you without you even realizing he's there. I've had him stand behind me. I can feel him, but I can't see him because it's so black. You know, you turn and look, and all you see is blackness, but that's the way it is down there anyway because there's no light. But you got your black hallways, but when you see him, he's darker than the no light. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So, I mean, you can tell when he's standing there because, yeah, you can tell when he's standing there looking at you, but he's trying to use the size to intimidate you to go away, to get away from that area. I don't know why he does that, but that's the way he is. And we've had investigators actually follow him around in that area and try to contact him, and he don't want to be contacted. He just wants to be left alone.
Now, what was it that made you believe that he is a Cherokee medicine man?
The way he is, because the Cherokee tribe, the medicine man lived away from the tribe. And if somebody needed him, they would go to him. But they'd always try to be, you know, cautious because he would try to stay, you know, in the shadows and not be seen by them. So that's what led us to believe this, plus some stuff that, you know, I had an investigator. He's got some Indian in him that he's picked up on from the Shadow Man.
Wow. So you've encountered the Shadow Man there, possibly the nurse. I'm guessing that if it felt like you were being tricked, that there was a nurse or something there trying to intubate you. And small children, more than one or just one? Can you tell if there's more than one?
I know of three, right offhand.
Three.
The little girl that talked to me in the break room about 4 years ago, she said, "Daddy, I love you," and that about tore me apart when I heard it. There's another, they say a little boy upstairs. I have yet to see anybody have anything from him. And then there's a little girl, Casey, who plays around the OR, who I've seen play tag with investigators with a K2 meter.
And you know her name because you got it in an EVP?
It was just the story that the names, you know, names on investigations fly left and right. You never know what's true. But we've heard from several people her name is Casey. So if that's the truth, I really don't know because I've never heard her name. I've never heard her say her name. That's always what we've heard.
That's just the story around that particular phenomenon.
Yeah, well, I've actually witnessed the tag with the K2 meter, and it was pretty cool when it happened.
That is neat. I love the K2s because even when there's, especially when there's no power to a building, and you know that it can't possibly be reading electrical lines and whatnot. That's something that's pretty difficult to debunk in a building with no power. I've watched that happen on numerous occasions, and it's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because up in the OR, the third floor, there's power up there, but they try to keep all the breakers turned off, so that is kind of taken out of the equation. But
uh-huh.
There's always that possibility. There's always that possibility that a fluorescent tube has got power going to it, and you're going to pick up that, you know, that power from that tube.
So, Adam, I know I've asked you this before, and the last time I think your answer, if I'm remembering correctly, was that you really couldn't think of a time when you had been scared. Has that changed any?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Well, let's hear about what it took to scare Adam Head. Inquiring minds want to know.
Okay, for 8 months, me and the team were working on a haunted house in Lynchburg. And me and my wife were up there moving a bunch of stuff from one room to another room. And as we were walking through, I seen a man standing like 5 feet from me, staring at me. That scared me, but I did not say anything to my wife who was with me at the time. After I seen him about 4 or 5 times, I'm like, okay, this is something else. And then she seen him. It scared her. It scared me because I didn't know what to think at the time. After I realized, you know, he's not there. I mean, I don't know who he is. And after I look at him, you know, 5 times, straight in his face and see him, that scared the shit out of me because I didn't know who he was. I've never seen him before.
That would be scary. And this,
you know,
was,
you're
this
in the house,
was... Go ahead.
That was in Lynchburg's haunted home. They've converted it over to a theatrical haunted house this year.
Oh. Well, that should be interesting.
Yeah. But some stuff happened and we pulled out, so we're not doing Lynchburg anymore. Just some personal stuff with me and the owner, but that's a whole another show.
Is that the one where Sandy, was it you? Is that the house where he thought he was your boyfriend, or
mm-hmm.
you ran into a ghost?
Yes.
I still can't get over that one. Talk about creepy stalker. There's a whole new twist to the term creepy stalker. So what about you, Sandy? Was the choking incident probably your scariest? Or was there something even scarier than that?
Oh, gosh. It was pretty scary. Like, I wasn't for sure what was going on. And, of course, you know, my husband investigates with me, and he was still wrapped up in his own investigation to even pay attention of what was going on. And I had to just walk out, and probably the scariest part of the hospital, and I kind of walked out by myself. I just had to go.
And you did go back in, though, that night then, didn't you?
I didn't go back down to that part of the hospital that night. I went back up to the third floor and did a little bit of investigating. I was so drained and so sick to my stomach after that. I went to bed for the night, but I did get up the next day and investigate again.
Would you go back to that part again of the hospital?
Oh, yeah. I did the last two times that we went.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You are a very
brave
girl.
I might be a glutton for punishment.
I don't know that. I don't know. Part of me would want to go back just to see if it reoccurred, and the other part of me would be terrified that it would happen again, and so I wouldn't want to go back. I don't know what I would do. It's hard to say, at least for me. I don't know. So do you guys often take newbie investigators with you or amateur investigators, or do you guys always stick with just your team?
Pretty much just our team, because amateurs are not a place sometimes for some of these investigations. We have had, you know, amateurs and newbies with us, and it did not work out well. Excuse me. But
with outsiders, yeah, I have a trust issue.
You have a trust issue?
Yeah, you know, are they faking what they're feeling? Are they taking it serious? Things like that. Is what they're saying happening or what they're seeing true? So it's just hard for me to do that with outside people sometimes.
That's understandable, especially after your experience with the, what do we call that, almost not quite psychic girl, lady? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That was probably my most terrifying night. That woman scared me to death.
I know exactly which one you're talking about now. Oh, yeah, she was something else.
That's one thing I think for those of you who are investigating and new to it or considering investigating, don't let your emotions rule what's going on that night or the night you're investigating, because these particular instances do flare up. I can't say I've ever had one quite like you experienced. And I want you to tell a story, because I wanted to hear some of the negative side of paranormal investigation, because there is definitely some negative that has to do with human beings, not dead folks. But go ahead and tell the story, because it's hilarious and at the same time disturbing.
Go ahead, Sandra.
Well, part of what that night, not always in the paranormal world are other teams going to get along. Some teams like to ride coattails of other teams who are well-established. And now we've learned to be kind of private with where we're going on our investigations until after they happen, so people just don't randomly show up on our investigation. So that night that happened, another team kind of showed up and kind of hijacked part of our investigation. And we were in a hotel, and there was other guests there that night, and a woman came in claiming to be a medium. She was kind of wanting to follow us around and see how we worked and what we did. And real quick, I just got a feeling things weren't clicking with me. And, of course, I do have trust issues. So me and some more members of the team, we kind of went off and did our own thing. We're sitting up in a room running an EVP session, and the next thing I know, I start hearing this screaming. It sounded like there was an Indian downstairs or something. Like, I had no clue what was going on. And, I mean, we all just froze. We were scared. We were in this room scared to death. So we get to the stairwell to go back downstairs, and I wasn't going downstairs. I had no clue what was doing. This woman was doing. She was in a chair, hugging a pole, clapping and screaming and just going crazy. So Nathan and Adam were downstairs, and they were watching, got it on the DVR system, everything. Adam is running a voice recorder, and he's getting EVPs at the same time. He's listening real time, and it's even telling him to listen.
Yeah.
Whatever there was at the hotel was in shock, too, because this woman was a lunatic.
So do you remember what the EVPs were saying?
It was saying listen.
Look. It told me to look a couple of times. So the spirits knew what were going on, knew something was going on. And they weren't causing it.
Wow. Well, it does take all kinds, that's for sure. And not to say to the listeners, not to say that something like that couldn't happen, especially in the case of a possession or something, but I think you can kind of tell when you've been around the block a few times investigating, you learn what's real and what's Memorex. It doesn't take
right.
too
we
long.
We would try and question her. And her husband would, like, try and pull her away and not let her answer questions or anything.
Wow. Well, on that note, if you could give advice to people who wanted to get into investigating, what would you consider, say, the first five key points of importance in investigation?
Find a reputable team that will let you investigate with them to see if it's something you want to actually do. Because, I mean, paranormal investigation is not for everybody. Sometimes, you know, long hours and nothing. Sitting in the dark talking to yourself pretty much is what it, you know, comes down to sometimes.
The most expensive equipment is not the best. You don't have to have the $300, $400 equipment. A voice recorder is suffice to start out.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Speaking of equipment, what's your opinion on these downloadable apps for spirit boxes and ghost boxes?
I only trust one right now, and I've used it, and I've gotten pretty good results with it. I don't trust it completely, but it's, you know, pretty good comparing, you know, compared to some of the other apps. Echovox, it's a $20 app, and I find it pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to say I trust it 100%, but it's pretty good.
What about
some of the other ones I've tried?
Go ahead.
Some of the apps are just like way too out there, especially like the free ones, because you never know what you're getting with those things. You don't know what's loaded into them or anything. It's just, you know, insane how many apps are actually available now.
What do you think about the downloadable thermal apps that turn your phone into a thermal cam? Have you tried those?
Not true. Yeah, not true at all, because your phone's camera is not capable of being turned into a thermal camera because of the lens setup. To actually have a thermal camera, you need a thermal camera. You just can't turn the color of your screen and make it look like a thermal camera. You know, you download an app that's going to turn your camera and make everything look red, and they say it's thermal. That's not thermal. That's just color.
It's almost no different than turning your phone into negative color.
Correct.
I agree with that. I have not used that app on my own phone, but I've been with folks that did use it, and to me, it seemed like a lot of baloney.
Yeah, because it don't give you temperature readings of what the thermal is showing. For an actual thermal to work, you actually got to have the lenses in place. You got to have the temperature sensors that read the temperature of the colors, and your phones don't do that. At this point, they can't do that.
Yeah, I agree. So take care when you're investigating that you're using reputable equipment, because you can get false information. And we don't need any more folks adding to the already humongous pile of fake stuff. That makes it hard for serious investigators to get their evidence out there when folks are fabricating evidence, even if they don't think they're fabricating evidence. And that's the problem. There's a lot of people that put evidence out there and don't realize. And once you've learned to recognize things like orbs and EVPs and whatnot, when you see a photo that's a bunch of dust particles, you can tell it's dust particles. I had a lady show me one day, she was a friend of mine too, that's what it made it kind of awkward for me, showed me a photo and she says, look at all these orbs. I don't know what happened. And I looked at the picture and then I went, dude, was it raining when you took this picture? She said, well, it was sprinkling, but it wasn't raining. And that's what it was. It was obvious to me that it was rain. And she was posting on Facebook, look at all these orbs I caught. And I'm like, oh, please don't do that. Please, please, please don't do that.
Yeah, there used to be a team in this area. They investigated at night in a cemetery in the middle of spring. It wasn't raining, but everything was in full bloom. And every picture they posted, there was about 150 pictures they posted, and all of them had the pollen. And they were saying all these were orbs. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, that makes a difference. There are certain things. And even in video, I did a ghost investigation in Arkansas. A friend of mine had called me and said, I think there's something in my house. It's really starting to freak me out. Will you come and investigate? And they were gone. They were going to be gone that weekend. So myself and my son and his best friend went and spent the night at their house and investigated. And there was a point in time where I thought I had really caught something on video. Until I realized in watching the video that you could hear the heater kick on. And once I heard the heater kicked on and went and checked out with the lights on where the vents were, and that house was kind of strange because instead of the vents being in the floor, they were up on the top part of the wall just under the ceiling. And it was right there underneath that great big vent that I had caught the anomaly. It, so I knew, you know, that was not real. It had to have been dust. So once you get your evidence, you need to go back over it, and you need to check in the light, in the daylight, or turn the lights on, whatever, and try to debunk it yourself. Otherwise, you risk looking like a fool later when somebody like you guys, who are professionals, come along and say, oh, dude, that's dust.
Yeah, I've had a few people tell me a couple of my videos were dust, and I went back and looked and actually agreed with them and removed that video because I did not want, you know, false information or me posting false information.
Right.
There's been three or four times I've actually done that.
There are lots of teams, serious teams, do that. They check, double check, triple check, because they don't want to look foolish, and they're serious about real evidence. And I applaud that. I applaud that because there are several teams who don't. Some of them are on television. We're not going to have any names, but some of them are on TV. So don't believe everything you see in here. That's another thing that you should know in investigating. Well, we're winding up the hour. Listen, guys, it was last minute, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us and telling us your stories. Is there anything else that you would like people to know about paranormal investigation, things you should do, things you shouldn't do?
Try to stay focused and have fun with it. Because if you're not having fun with it, why do it? You know, there's a time to be serious, and then there's times you can actually, you know, have fun during an investigation. You don't want to get burnt out, that's for sure. I mean, you always want to, you know, kind of, you know, have fun with it. Don't be so serious all the time. There's times when you want to be serious, and there's just other times, you know, it's not called for.
Yeah. I agree with that wholeheartedly. What about you, Sandra? Anything you'd like to add?
Not everything that you see is going to be something. You're not always going to get evidence every investigation.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how many times we've been to the hospital and get nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Some of the funnest investigations I've been on, we didn't get a lick of evidence. Nothing happened at all. But we had fun tracing around the old house looking for something. And we still had a good time. So don't be discouraged. That's what my advice would be. Don't be discouraged if you don't get any real evidence. If you go out there and you look for it and you can't find it and you enjoyed yourself, go again. If you end up at the right place at the right time, you're going to catch something. Hopefully not a cold. Be careful where you go in the winter. All right. Well, it is getting close to 10 o'clock, and so we are going to go ahead and end the show. I want to thank you both for coming on. Everybody, please make sure you go check out Dark Spectre Paranormal Research on Facebook. They have a lot of amazing evidence that some of it will blow your mind. There's some EVPs and some videos that they've got that are just wild. I think in the jail, I think it was in the old jail that you investigated, the one was. Go check it out. We will be back next month. We will no longer be doing two shows a month, just one show a month, because I am far too busy. Sorry, but I just don't have time to do two shows a month. Our next show, our guest is just an average person. He doesn't investigate ghosts. He's not that into the paranormal. However, he did spend many, many years living in a haunted house, and he's going to tell us all about that. For those of you that are interested in reading True Ghost Stories, Haunted 1 is free everywhere. Go grab it. You can get it on Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, iBooks, I mean, everywhere. Diesel, Pueblo, Sony, all of them have it for free. Go download it. Check it out. Please leave a review. And thank you all for coming tonight, and we'll see you all next month. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.